I want to invite you this morning to take the scriptures. And what we're going to do is read this passage together, and then we're going to stand for a word of prayer, go immediately to the preaching of the word, and then we'll close with a hymn. So if you would take your Bible and turn with me to 2 Chronicles, 2 Chronicles and the chapter 7. I was most encouraged just yesterday morning. Our ministers, those who were able to join with us, had a time of prayer on Zoom. And our prayer time started at 10 o'clock in the morning. And we had a good number of brethren who were joining with us as we prayed over the internet. It was a good time. We have, as I said to you, elders and members of our presbytery and congregations who are sick and unwell, and therefore we felt it was necessary to have that time of prayer together. And our moderator, who brought the opening word, read from this very passage, and I was most encouraged by that, because undoubtedly this is a word in season for our nation and for us as a congregation, therefore, this morning. The text is 2 Chronicles chapter 7, and the verse 14, but let's pick up the reading at the verse 12. 2 Chronicles 7 and the verse number 12. And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer and have chosen this place to myself for an house of sacrifice. If I shut up heaven, that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Amen. We'll end our reading there at the verse 14. Will you stand with me, please, in a word of prayer this morning? Our Lord and our God, we are very much aware of the current circumstances and the dark cloud that glooms over our land. We are conscious of the dangers, and we know not what a day nor a week may bring. But Lord, we are compelled this morning to look far beyond the grey clouds that loom above and gaze upward further to heaven. And upon the throne there sits one who is the King of kings and Lord of lords. And Lord, in thee we rejoice this morning. A God who is sovereign. And a God who is gracious. And a God who is merciful. Lord, we look to thee this morning. We want to thank thee for giving a word in season today. Lord, it's not the matter of just trying to find something to say. No, Lord, you've given a word. And you've given meditations upon that word. So Lord, bless it to each and every one gathered here today. Those online and those with us in the church and church car park. Lord, we pray, challenge our hearts this morning. Deliver us, Lord, from apathy and from coldness and, Lord, from deadness. And enable us, Lord, today to not only lift our eyes heavenward, but to lift our voices heavenward and our hearts heavenward and unitedly call upon thee for divine intervention. Lord, spare thy people here in Larne. Spare those who aren't Larne, that they may come to thee in salvation. And Lord, may it be very clear that the God of glory has stepped in. And we pray you would encourage us indeed. So thank you, Lord, for this opportunity. Thank you, Lord, for this word. Thank you, Lord, that the coronavirus has not changed thee. In no way has it dethroned our God. But him who sits upon the throne sits still sure, and forevermore will do so. So as thy people we bow before thee. Lord, you know every heart that's gathered. You know every person watching in. You know the burdens. You know the fears. You know the troubles. Lord, speak today, we pray. And may there be a voice from heaven that is undeniable and clear for each and every one to hear. Comfort thine own. Guide your people. And lead us now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. And you may be seated. When I was at a meeting throughout the week to take in one of our churches, and just both on the way there and on the way back, I was just mulling over in my mind what we should look at here this Lord's Day morning. And of course, we are due to return to the life of Moses. And I was very content and happy to proceed with the life of that man of God. And yet, this is the one verse that kept returning and returning and burdening my heart. And I found myself praying over it, and indeed the verse opening up to me indeed. This is a text, 2 Chronicles chapter 7, the verse 14. This is a text that we're all most familiar with. But surely it is particularly relevant to us in our current circumstances. If you look at the end of verse 13, and it says here, verse 13, if I, that's the Lord speaking there, Jehovah, if I send pestilence among my people. And just before we read any further there, dear child of God, understand that when God in judgment sends, whether it's pestilence or sword or whatever, the people of God are not exempt from suffering as well. When a nation or when a people turn their back on God and God turns judgment upon them, the people of God suffer along with those who are not the people of God. That's very clear as you read through the Old Testament. When wars come and pestilences come, everyone suffers. So, at the end of verse 10, it says, if I send pestilence among my people, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray. And men and women, there is the antidote. The problem is found in verse 3, that of a pestilence, but the antidote is clearly presented. It's an antidote that everyone here is aware of. If my people pray, God says, in response to prayer, he will move. When the second wave of the coronavirus, COVID-19, taking hold upon us, this is more relevant than ever before. And we need to ask the question this morning, is there a way? I'm not talking here about a cure. I'm talking here this morning about, is there a way to stop the virus proceeding any further? Well, this verse gives a very clear answer. If my people pray, God will heal the land. We're in the second wave, and it's undoubtedly wreaking havoc across our land and even across our denomination. And I'm very conscious this morning that there are various opinions, perspectives on this virus. I am very conscious that some are very much fearful for their own lives and are very cautious. At the other end of the spectrum, I know there are people who are very much dismissive and are minimalistic in their approach to this. I don't want to cause division this morning. And I fear that for our churches and for the people of God, this is not something that we want to see division over. But this we can all agree on, no matter where you are on that scale, whether you're polar opposites or not, there's one thing we can all agree on. We don't want anyone or church family ending up in Antrim Area Hospital with a ventilator plugged into them, struggling to breathe, and the ramifications even of recovery are most difficult, and we don't want to see someone in a coffin as a result of this. So no matter where you are in the spectrum of views and opinions on this, we can agree in that. And so for that sake, I would urge you to pray. And I believe this is God's call for us as a congregation. I'm only speaking to this congregation. I'm not on a platform speaking to our whole denomination. So I want you to see this for what it is. God's word for this congregation. To pray that our church family, there'll be no one on a ventilator. Not even anyone taking the virus. And that God would have mercy upon our town. And that none would take the virus. I want you to pray for that specific that this week. That's a challenge I want to take myself and also give to each and every one of us. And I'm going to detail that for you come the end of our sermon, how I want you to do that this incoming week. But join us as we deliberately take a week to pray for this. And then we'll see where we are this time next week. This morning, I'm taking the title simply, Stop COVID-19 and Learn. Firstly, come to the text, verse 14. And look what it says here. We have a condition. And it's found in the first word, if. If. That's the condition. You see, this verse is a promise. But there is a condition attached to this promise. The promise is there for us to take, but it's only if, on the condition that God's people pray. So the word if there, it doesn't indicate certainty. The word if indicates possibility. There is a possibility here of God working if his people pray. It's a promise, dear men and women, that may not be realized. It's a promise and an answer and a cure that may not be experienced if the conditions are not entered into that of prayer. But perhaps the first question that comes to your mind is this. Here's a promise about God healing a land, but is that promise relevant to us? After all, this was written thousands of years ago to the people of Israel. Can we honestly, with confidence, say this morning that this promise applies to us? Well, let me explain the promise to you. This is indeed a promise given to Israel, to the people of God in Israel, and when plagues come and devourings come and when drought comes, if they pray, God would hear them. This comes in response to Solomon's great prayer about the house of God. And the Lord's making it clear that when people come to the house of God and when they pray, of course the temple now is different. We don't have a temple. It's very clear in the New Testament, Christ made it clear to the woman at the well that the Lord, the Spirit of God, dwells in us all. We can pray wherever we are. That's the blessing of the New Testament. But the challenge here was this. God says if the people come to the house of God and pray, the Lord will hear and heal their land. That was a promise to them. That we are not Israel in the sense of this people who are found in a geographical location over in the land of Israel. But this does undoubtedly apply to us, and let me tell you why. It's in the Bible, so that you and I, these thousands of years later, would read this passage and we would learn and see how God works with his people. This is clearly demonstrating the way and the means and the methods by which God works.
We are being shown here something of the Lord, His methods. This is theology, men and women. Here is how God works in every era, in every generation. If my people call, He will answer. He will answer. And this is a verse that we can take as the people of God with confidence, knowing that God is demonstrating this is how He works. But it is a condition, if. Let me secondly show you the responsibility. Because read the rest of the verse. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray. And I want to focus upon that little phrase there, my people. Now let me tell you, the people of this nation are very much glad and indebted to those unbelievers who have worked at great sacrifice at times to find cures and to understand the virus and to work out how to mitigate it. There are people who know not the Lord and people who are saved working to try and deal with the virus as best they can. And we are indebted to those efforts. We're thankful to every medical professional and to every government body who is genuinely trying to protect the people. We're indebted to them. But men and women, when it comes to the work of petitioning God, the responsibility of petitioning God lies solely upon the people of God. There are many people looking for cures and ways to mitigate it, and that's right, and that's proper, and that's good. But in regards to turning the hand of God, that is our job and nobody else's. And so if the hand of God is not turned and the pestilence is not removed, we need to examine our own hearts. Are we as enthusiastic to approach God for mercy as the unbeliever who is looking for a cure and who's studying science? Are we as enthusiastic as the unbeliever? We need to ask that question and seriously answer it this morning, are we? The unsaved are going to great lengths. Can it be said, dear believer, that you are going to great lengths in petitioning the throne of God? It's God's people that has a responsibility to do that, nobody else. So it's our duty as God's remnant to pray for this church family and for this town, and indeed for the nation. It's our responsibility. Let me emphasize that by turning you to a few verses of Scripture. Let's go to Samuel. 1 Samuel, please. And look what Samuel said here regarding the work and ministry of prayer that he had for the people of God. 1 Samuel and the chapter 12. First Samuel 12 and the verse 23, Samuel addresses the people here and he says, "Moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you." Samuel makes it undeniably clear that it is sinful not to pray for a nation who is in need of prayer. And the people of Israel at this point and in the future would be in great need of Samuel's prayer. And here we are, dear believer. How have we been doing in our private and public prayer? Take your Bibles again and go with me to the book of James, please. James chapter 4. James chapter 4. And here we have, once again, a very clear challenge. James 4
and the verse 17. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Now, we usually apply that to practical goods. If someone hasn't clothing or hasn't food, and you knowing their need and you deliberately do nothing, it's sin. But surely it is more important and more powerful to pray for those who are in need. And we know that. For the need of men's souls. For the even prevention of this virus progressing anymore. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Staying in James chapter 5 and the verse 13. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Let him pray. And our nation, our town, our denomination is afflicted today. Therefore, men and women, let us pray. That's the challenge of 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and the verse 14. Let's go back to that text, please. 2 Chronicles 7. And you know, there's a great encouragement here as well before we leave the responsibility. The responsibility rests solely upon the people of God, for sure. But isn't it a great joy that God has his own people? Take that phrase, if my people, which are called by my name. That means that God has a people. And God has graciously saved those people by the sacrifice there upon Calvary's tree. Because of Christ and what Christ has successfully done, because God so loved the world and sent his Son, because the Spirit of God has applied to us salvation, there is a people. And dear believer, this morning, you and I, we're one of those people. And because we are God's people, we have therefore the opportunity to boldly come before God and pray. And I know full well you will come to God this week and you'll do it perhaps with guilt. You'll feel insufficient, unable, that you shouldn't pray. I know all of that. But you have a right to come to God on the basis of who you are and what you are in the Son, Jesus Christ. And he not only invites us, but encourages us and commands us to pray. The Lord says, my people, and if my people come and pray, he will hear. So when the devil would discourage you, you can pray, I'm a child of God, and my Father has asked me to come. Regardless to my faults and failures, my Father has asked me to come. Thirdly, this morning, I want you then to see the activity. The activity is found halfway down the verse. If my people, which are called by my name, shall, number one, humble themselves. Number two, and pray. Number three, and seek my face. Number four, and turn from their wicked ways. There's four things very quickly. Here's the activity of the people of God. It begins with being humble. Now, what does it mean here to be humble? Think upon our circumstances in which we find ourselves. Somebody who is proud doesn't need God. Someone who's proud will not bow to ask or lower themselves to ask anyone else for help. And as a nation, what are we doing? Are we asking God for help? Do you ever see the announcements that are made coming from government? We hear from science and more science and more science. And then we hear the plans and the ideas and the approach of men. And the announcements stop. There's no humility there before God. There's only dependence upon men's ability and men's intellect and our technology. This verse says, when my people humble themselves, and the idea of humbling means that we get down before God and we acknowledge and we accept that man can't do this. We need God. It's a dependence upon the Lord, not being proud enough to think that we can find our own answer.
And so we ought to humble ourselves. And those who are humble will automatically pray. You see, if you're stripped of self-confidence, you'll not look to self, you'll not look to man, you'll look to God, you'll pray.
And the idea of praying is realizing our inability and praying and interceding that God would intervene, that God would do something, because we're out of our own depth. We need the Lord to lift us out of our troubles and difficulties. And then the verse goes on to talk about seeking. If somebody is humble, they'll most definitely pray. And those who genuinely pray, not just saying some wee words, but those who genuinely pray will seek. Now, what's the difference? Well, the word seek there, you understand it even in English. It means that you go to find something. So it's not the matter of just saying a wee one-off prayer now and again, hoping for the best. No, someone who seeks will push on in until they have found what they're asking for. There's no giving up. There's no shallowness. They press on until they obtain what they're after. And someone who is humble and someone who is praying will genuinely seek and seek until they find. But the verse goes on. It says, turn from their wicked ways. And that's the natural conclusion. Because if you're humble, seeking God, not depending upon yourself, if you're praying, and if you're seeking, you will automatically turn from your sin for fear that your sin would prevent you, or rather would prevent God from working. You would be so afraid of your sin grieving God and driving God and God's blessing away that you will turn from your sin because you're so dependent and you sense your need of God.
Is that where we are as a nation? No. Is that where you are, believer, as an individual? If not, let's get there. Humble, praying, seeking, turning from our sin. And then fourthly and finally, come to the response here. The response is then the following words. If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then... Here's the response now. Then from their then will I hear from heaven, number one, hear from heaven, number two, and will forgive their sins, and will, number three, heal their land. And let's look at those for a minute. God says, I will. That's the response. I will hear. And you know, sometimes there are a lot of words being said. That's not prayer. We're merely just going over a rhyme. But let's labor in prayer. And that's with faith, look to God, and with earnestness, knowing that there's lives are at stake here. And people's eternity at stake here. Therefore, let's genuinely pray and know that God hears prayer. But note what God then says. When he hears prayer, I will heal their land. No, he says, I will forgive their sin. Now, do not miss the order here. Forgiveness comes before healing. We don't have time to turn to it right now. But remember the man who was paralyzed, could not walk. And they lowered him, his four friends lowered him down into the house where Christ was. And Christ saw him. And what's the first thing the Lord said to him? Rise up and walk? No. The first thing the Lord says, thy sins are forgiven thee. First of all, there was forgiveness. And then comes the healing. And much of our prayer misses that out. We go straight for the healing. Lord, heal our land. Lord, heal our land. And we want our land to be healed. But there's something far worse than the coronavirus, and that's sin. Sin doesn't just end people up in hospital, in ICU. It ends them up in hell forevermore. We need forgiveness. And that's where our prayer for our nation and for our town and for this area commences. Lord, forgive our people. Send forgiveness. And then the healing comes. Don't miss the order. God will hear. God will forgive. And God will heal when his people pray. So, in conclusion this morning,
I want to challenge this congregation. Because what else can we do in response to this verse? I don't want you walking out this morning and saying, that's a great verse. I want you walking out this morning and doing something about it. So, I want to challenge this congregation to pray 3 times every day this week. Just for 1 week. Pray 3 times with me. 8 o'clock in the morning, 1 o'clock in the afternoon, and 10 in the evening. 8, 1, and 10. Take 3 minutes. Take 5. Take whatever you're able to do and pray. Surely the present circumstances demand a serious approach to prayer. We don't want any more people. We certainly don't want anyone in our own church family in a ventilator in hospital. I don't want that. I don't want more people in Larne affected by it. So let's pray that God would hear, forgive, and heal our land. It would be my intention to do that with you, perhaps even online. So those of you who are on Facebook, if you're able to get to that, just keep an eye out this week. And at those times, 8, 1, and 10, I will be on Facebook, on our page there. Just look out for Stop COVID Larne, and you'll find us there. And I want to just take 5 minutes at each of those intervals and pray with you. Let's pray together. Let's pray for our people. That's our job. We are God's people. And can I close then by showing you one more verse? 1 Chronicles. And the chapter 22. Same man in view here, Solomon. But David, his father, is exhorting Solomon here. Great text. With this we close. 1 Chronicles 22. And the verse 19, here's what David said to his son Solomon. Now, set your heart and your soul to seek the Lord your God. You can see there the fixture. Set. You fix your heart in this task. Don't let it waver from this, Solomon. You fix your heart and your soul. And that's a phrase we use today. If you want someone to be enthusiastic, you would say, put your heart and soul into it. Fix your heart and your soul to seek the Lord your God. Men and women, as the Lord's people for this town, that is our responsibility. That is our responsibility. And I trust that across our nation, many will take these very truths to heart. And many will pray, and perhaps we'll see God moving in a marvelous way. So join with us this week, 8 o'clock, 1 o'clock, 10 o'clock. Perhaps those times don't suit you. You can do it at whatever time does suit you. I'll certainly be taking those times, and I would encourage you, pray with us. Amen.